2 and the verse 1, we read these words, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now I want you to use your imagination just for a moment and try to suppose that there was only one place where you could hear the word of God being preached and expounded. Suppose that place, let's use an example, was Canberra. And suppose then that the only place where you could go and offer sacrifices to the Lord in order to ensure that your sins were forgiven was Canberra. And the only place where you could gather and worship with God's people on some grand scale was in Canberra. You said that's quite strange, quite bizarre. But yet that's exactly how it was in the Old Testament times for the saints of God. The only place during this period of time where the word of God was proclaimed and expounded was Jerusalem. The only place where you could go and make your sacrifices unto God for the forgiveness of your sins was Jerusalem. The only place where you could experience worship on a grand scale with your brothers and sisters in the Lord was Jerusalem. Now the problem, the same as we would have if it were Canberra, was that Jerusalem was so inaccessible for so many people for huge periods of time. So you can understand something of the excitement and the thrill of the anticipation that would have been part of the Old Testament believers' joy when they were going to Jerusalem to take part in the feasts that God had ordained. And you'll notice there at the beginning of Psalm 122, it's given a title. It's called the Song of Degrees. Now, if you look around some of the other psalms that surround it, you'll find that there are actually a number of psalms entitled Songs of Degrees. The reason for that, these were songs that were written for a very particular purpose. You might even have the title, A Song of Ascent, in your Bible. These were songs or psalms that were sung by Jewish pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem to take part in the feasts that were given to them under the law. And these psalms were to be sung as the worshippers made their way towards the holy place for worship. So as they would climb the road that brought them to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs of ascent, and their praises would ascend to the heights of God's glory and His majesty. These were psalms that were designed to glorify God and to prepare their hearts for worshiping God. So David writes, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And of course the word glad simply means to be filled with praise. He's beginning to rejoice. Now the Lord has given us many reasons to rejoice, but the greatest of those reasons is that we have been redeemed by His grace. We have been forgiven of our sins. We have been adopted into His family. We have many reasons for gladness. And David tells us that he's found amongst those reasons for joy his going to the house of God. Now I know not everyone shares that emotion when it comes to going to the house of the Lord. If they did, this house would be filled every time the doors were opened. Some are glad when it's time to go to church, and some are glad when it's over. That's just the nature of people. But David says that he found great joy in going to the house of the Lord. And that should be true for you and I also. When we come here, when we meet together for worship, it should make our hearts glad. And so I want to show a few things that David mentions in this psalm. Some reasons why going to the house of God should make us glad. And so I have a few points just to leave with you very quickly this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, where it is that he's going to. He says in verse 2, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." He's going to Jerusalem. So if you can imagine a country boy arriving in the big city, perhaps for the first time. Remember, the psalmist David was a shepherd boy from Bethlehem. He spent his time in his youth out in the hills and the mountains surrounding Bethlehem. And now he finds himself in the great city of Jerusalem, that magnificent city with all of its history, with all of its significance. And he stops and he pauses at the gates of the city before he crosses over. He pauses to take it all in. The sights and the sounds and the hustle and the bustle of the great city of Jerusalem. And of course, this city has great significance for him as an Old Testament worshipper. This is the city where God has said that he will meet with his people. This is the city where the presence of God is to be found. This is where the temple is. This is where the tabernacle is. This is where the sacrifices will be offered. This is the place where the priests will do their work. At times of celebration, like the Passover, the population of the city of Jerusalem would multiply. Throngs of people would gather for the great feast to come and worship God. And his heart is overwhelmed with emotion. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go to the temple. Let's go and join in the great feasts and worship God." There's great pleasure, great joy, great sense of delight at being present in Jerusalem. David's heart is filled with such joy. Now, of course, Jerusalem for us as New Testament believers, Jerusalem is much more than just that great city in the Middle East today. The Bible speaks about a new Jerusalem. And for us as New Covenant worshippers, the new Jerusalem is the church, the body of Christ, made up of those for whom Christ has died. You read in the book of Revelation of the new Jerusalem being prepared as a bride for her husband. We, the church, are being ready to meet with Christ. And there ought to be joy when we gather together as a company of God's people. You see, the psalmist is saying something that ought to belong to us when we meet together in the house of God, be it on a Sunday morning and afternoon, or the Wednesday evening Bible study, or the Friday morning fellowship. There's a sense of joy when the people of God get together. We are God's house. God's house is not a building made of bricks and timber. God's house is his people. We are the dwelling place of God. When we receive, God's Spirit takes up residence within our hearts. And when we come together, we come as the body of Christ, the new Jerusalem. There should be a spring to our step and a sense of anticipation. There should be a longing within our hearts for the opportunities to meet together with God's people. David said, "I was glad. I was glad." There's a sense of joy. I hope this morning when your alarm went off that you said to yourself, "We get to go to church today." Not "we have to go to church today." There should be a joy as we approach our worship services. I trust that the anticipation that we've felt over the last number of weeks of being able to come together and worship one with the other is something that has gladdened our hearts this morning. That it will take us away from the professionalism that we can fall into sometimes. That sense of detachment that we're there, but we're not really there. We're there in body, but we're not there in spirit. That we lose that sense of, well, this is what we do every week. It's almost routine that we lose our sense of joy and anticipation of meeting with other Christians. I was glad, David said. He finds himself in Jerusalem with all of its history and significance, in the presence of God, with those that are desiring to worship him, and his heart is thrilled. Now, I know for the last number of weeks, we haven't been able to meet together in this fashion. And we've been using the technology that's available to us to keep in contact with one another and to share God's word via online means. And it's been good. It has been blessed. And God has been using it to reach out to others beyond our four walls. We've had contact with people in New South Wales. There have been folks from the Philippines that have been watching. There have been those from the UK. People from all over. And it's been good and it's been blessed. But it's a poor substitute for being able to meet one another in the house of God. There's something deeply significant about coming together in the New Jerusalem. I was glad, David said, when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Where he went to? Jerusalem. What did he go there to do? Well, he gives us two reasons, two purposes for going to Jerusalem. Look at verse 4. He says, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel. One of the reasons that David went was because of the testimony of Israel. Now, the testimony is simply a reference to the word of God. It's a reference to the children of Israel gathering at the tabernacle and then later at the temple for the great feast that God has ordained. Namely, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, and of course, the Feast of the Passover. And they made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem at those times of the year in order to honour the word of the Lord. Of course, that's one of the reasons why we come together. We come together to worship God and to hear his word. That's why we read the scripture. That's why we seek to preach its truth. The Bible should be at the heart of everything that we do. Every event should be centered upon the word of God. Every meeting should have the scriptures at its heart. Every service, we have a God-given opportunity to open his book and to share his gospel. And I make no apologies for saying that this is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. We don't need new plans and programs or fancy gimmicks or such things. What we need is a spirit-filled, Bible-centered preaching that thrills the hearts of God's people. When we hear the great themes and the doctrines of the Bible preached, it stirs our soul. David said he went to hear the testimony of the Lord, to hear God's word. He also says something else there in verse 4, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, to render praise to the Lord. We come to hear God's word preached, and we come to praise God, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Those Old Testament worshippers that made their way to Jerusalem to be at the tabernacle and then the temple often went at great personal cost and great difficulty to offer their praise to God. They had to travel huge distances. They didn't have the modern conveniences of cars and motorized transport. They went on foot. If you were lucky, perhaps you had a donkey to travel on the back of, but it was a long, difficult journey. But they felt that the price that they had to pay to worship God was worth any difficulty that they had to undertake. I suspect it didn't take a great deal of effort for us to get to church this morning. We didn't have to walk hundreds of kilometers to get here in sandals. We didn't have to ride on the back of a donkey or contend with the dust and the dirt and the danger of the roads to get here. We might have had to put a bit of a rush on to get out and maybe look for a shoe that got lost somewhere, but it wasn't that hard. Maybe I had to wrap up a little warmer to brace the cold air to go out into the morning, but it wasn't that much cost involved. These worshippers remembered the reason why they were going, of all the things the Lord had done for them, how good he had been to them. And they recognized that we have untold numbers of reasons to worship God. So they did. And we have so much more to worship him for. When we think of all the Lord has done for us, he sent his Son to die for us. He has saved us from our sins. He protects us and keeps us and has promised to bring us to the heaven above when this world for us ends. We have ample reasons to worship God, to come and to give thanks unto his name. You know, the singing of the hymns and the psalms is one of the things that I miss most in our vacancy. I loved being able to sit down and to share with you from God's word, but I missed hearing you sing, to bring praises to the Lord. I hope you'll come on Wednesday evening. We'll have a few favourite hymns to get us warmed up and ready to praise God again. David went to Jerusalem to hear the testimony of the Lord and to praise God. Let me point out a third thing to you, who he went with. While David found gladness and joy in going to the house of God himself, that joy was increased when he realized that others were going to be going with him. He gives us another reason for being glad to be found in the house of God. He said there in verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go. Here's a people that are united in their fellowship in the Lord. They see it as an opportunity to come together on common ground for a common purpose. All the petty disputes are set aside. All the family disagreements are left behind. They're coming together to worship God. He says in verse 3, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Now, if you've ever seen aerial pictures of Jerusalem, you'll know exactly what David's talking about. The old part of the city, houses built upon house, they're all crammed in together. The word compact simply means joined. They're joined one to another. They're closely built. They're bound to one another with close ties. When David says that they're going up as a party to worship in Jerusalem, he's speaking about that unity of fellowship, compact, built together, closely joined. You know, as I look around those that have gathered with us this morning, I realize we are all different. Some of us come from different parts of the world. We come from different families. We come from different points of views. We come from different backgrounds. We come even sometimes with different beliefs. Yet we are commanded to come together and worship the Lord. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are people united in faith, in fellowship. David says, he speaks about the tribes. The tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Of course, you had 12 tribes in Israel. But they're all connected by blood. They're all one family. They come from different parts of the country, but they all come together for one purpose, a family affair, to worship God. You've got the coastal dwellers of Zebulun, the highlanders of Dan, the farmers of Ephraim, the desert rivers of Reuben. They're all there, all the tribes. And it's time to renew acquaintances. And it's time to catch up on family news. And it's time to meet the new members of the families. Every time they come together, it's a grand family reunion when the people of God get together. No, they're not all the same. They've got distinctive qualities and different attributes, but that's part of the glory of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what's so thrilling about us all coming together. We're not the same. We don't all speak the same way. You don't all have beautiful Irish accents like I do. God has made us all different. We've got different qualities, different attributes, different skills, different talents. We're all part of the same body, but we're not the same part. And we come together and we make up the body of Christ, each of us contributing what God has given to us. Here's something to be aware of. It's the cults that want to make you all the same. They want to conform everyone to the same image. We glory in our diversity, just as the psalmist does here. It's all the tribes that come together. The diversity and the unity of the worshippers of God is something to be thankful for. And this church is to function in that manner. When we come together, it's like all of the family coming home. The redeemed of the Lord, those that are united by that precious redemption, joining together for worship, for praise, for fellowship, for building one another up. We should take those opportunities to strengthen those family bonds. That's one of the reasons why we have so many meetings in the church, to give you opportunities for fellowship. It's a healthy part of our faith to meet together with other believers. We help hold them accountable and they help hold us accountable. The church that doesn't fellowship together will lack that unity. Imagine a family that never shared a meal or sat down around a table together or got to know one another. It'd be a family with serious problems. We want our church fellowship to resemble the church fellowship that we find in the book of Acts, that met together in fellowship, that broke bread together, that praised God together, that witnessed and worshipped together. We want to be able to appreciate the vastness of the work of Jesus Christ, where he intends to call people out of every tribe and nation and kindred and tongue, so that there's a great multitude, so great that no man can number them, around his throne. A people united in faith and in fellowship, a family of God, a people in peace with one another. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of the church. David has in his heart a yearning, a desire for the prosperity and the peace of this great city, Jerusalem. The name Jerusalem actually means city of peace. David's praying for peace within Jerusalem, that there might be no division, no civil war, no disunity, no strife within its walls. When you hear of division within the church, you pray for it. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Pray. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for all that live within the city walls of New Jerusalem. Pray for the peace. Pray that God may be known amongst, that God will be glorified in their presence. So we have noted where he went. He went to Jerusalem. What did he go to do? He went to hear the testimony of the Lord, and he went to offer thanks and praise. Who did he go with? He went with other believers, family of God. Notice lastly, who he went to meet. Four times in the psalm, David mentions the name of the Lord. And you notice it's Lord in capital letters. It's the name of God, Jehovah, the Lord, is at the heart of everything that he's doing. It's the Lord that he's going to worship. Yes, it'll be good to meet with friends and family. It'll be good to soak in the atmosphere. It'll be good to hear the testimony of the Lord and to give praise. But more importantly, he's going to meet with the Lord. That's what's key. The Lord is the centerpiece of the psalm. He's going to meet with the Lord, Jehovah. You know, that's the name of God that appears almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament. It identifies God as being the eternal one, the self-existent one, the one who is without beginning and without end. It's the name that God revealed of himself to Moses as he stood at the burning bush. I am that I am. We mentioned it before when we did the attributes of God. That's coming together of the three tenses of the verb to be. I was, I am, I will be. God identifies himself as the eternal one. David says, that's who I'm going to worship. He's Jehovah, the covenant-keeping one. The one who makes covenant with his people and will never break faith. He's the one who keeps every promise he's ever made. He's the one who keeps every soul he ever saved. This name identifies him as the God who is worthy of our praise and of our worship. Ultimately, the Lord is the reason why we come together. If the Lord is not going to be here, then there's no point in us coming. We're just wasting time. He's the reason that we come together. To hear his word, to praise his name, to meet in fellowship with other believers, those are good things. But if the Lord is not here, then we'd be safer staying at home or finding out some other place where the Lord will be. If you came here this morning just because it was time to go to church, you came for the wrong reason. If you came here to see someone else, you've come for the wrong reason. If you came to see me, you've still come for the wrong reason. If you came because, well, it's the first time we could come in a couple of months, you still came for the wrong reason. But if you came because you know the Lord, or you want to know the Lord, and you love the Lord, and you want to meet with him, then you've come for the right reason. If you've come because he has saved you, and he keeps you, and he blesses you, and you want to praise him and thank him for that, then you've come for the right reason. If you've come to worship God and experience something that is lasting and meaningful and eternal, then I'm glad you've come. And I trust that it has been all that you have hoped for. Those who come to the house of God for the wrong reasons very often will get nothing out of it. Those that have come to meet with the Lord will never be disappointed. Never be disappointed. I think that today serves as a wonderful opportunity for us to examine just exactly what it means to us to be in the house of God. About the opportunity to worship God. How we feel about the family of God. I know we'll have time to say hello to one another and to rejoice in the company of God's people, but I hope above and beyond all of those things that we will have met with God. And he with us, and will have thrilled our hearts that we were found here today. Let's bow in prayer.